even though the range was impossible. But the runt aimed the thing toward the ceiling and blew so hard its cheeks puffed out. Nothing seemed to happen. Maybe it was drunk and hadn't heard the warning of the others. Mildred flinched, touching an ear.
Shit! Something just went straight through my head. That must be an ultrasonic whistle.
Doc cocked the hammer of his Lamar hand cannon.
Madam, that makes no sense. The mutie talked to us normally. If we hear the same, why would one use an ultrasonic dog whistle?
Cow dogs.
JB said nothing, but hastily hauled a Molotov from his bag, spilling mushrooms onto the ground. Ryan flicked a butane lighter.
Ready the torches. The bright light should send these big eyes powering away, screaming.
The torches were prepared, but suddenly they noticed it was much easier to see one another. In horror, the companions realized the cavern was significantly brighter. On the rooftop, the runt blew again, and the silvery moss on the walls flared with illumination until the huge cavern was as bright as daylight. Ryan cursed, firing once at the runt.
Fire blast. Back to the redoubt.
Clutching his stomach, the mutie tumbled off the roof, just as dozens more boiled out of the temple and huts, screaming and waving weapons. Rolling along the hard-packed ground, the LAV-25 was buffeted by the wild winds. The ash storm was over, and the acid rains thankfully gone. But now, with nothing to stop or even slow them, the natural winds were ravaging the Tennessee Valley. Dead leaves and loose dust peppered the wagon until they were driving blind. Brandon shouted at the driver.
See any road?
Can't see my own dick! I'm waiting for us to hit a fucking cliff and die!
A corporal studied the compass in his shaking hands.
Ain't no cliffs in this direction. Stay in this direction and we'll be fine.
Cresting a hill, the armored wag started down the other side when it began to build speed. The driver applied the brakes quickly, but there was no slowing of their progress. He stomped on the brakes with all his might.
Shit! We're sliding free! No way to stop!
Lunging across the interior of the wag, Brandon yanked on the mechanical brake, and they felt the eight wheels lock tight. But the APC continued to slide down the smooth side of the steep hill, slowly starting to turn sideways. The lieutenant grabbed a ceiling stanchion.
We're going to flip! Hold on, boys!
The wind slammed small debris against the wag as the vehicle continued to turn until it was traveling backward.
Lock the rear door!
The nearest sec man barked a bitter laugh and clutched his safety harness with both hands.
You lock the fucking door! I ain't leaving this seat!
Coward!
Asshole!
The corporal drew a blaster, and the LAV hit something with a jarring crash. Every loose item in the wag went airborne, shotgunning toward the rear. The sec man cried out as plastic crates slammed into legs, and one man went limp, his skull crushed from the impact of a steel ammo box full of linked rounds for the 25mm cannon. The corporal shouted, staring at the map on the floor in horror.
Release the brake! We got to get back control!
Why?
Lake!
The lieutenant cursed and went for the release lever when the wag slammed into something again, the impact making it spin like a mad top. The supplies went all over the vehicle, crates breaking open to spill MRE packs everywhere. A third impact straightened their course, and the driver fought the steering levers, trying to regain some control over the runaway war machine. The duct tape covering an air vent burst free, and road dust poured into the craft like a river of smoke. In seconds, the interior was filled, the men gagging and choking as they pulled shirts over their mouths in an effort to breathe. It was a trick they learned from the ash storm, but the dust was a finer grain, and it didn't work as well this time. Then a sudden silence filled the APC, and clean air streamed in through the vents.
We're out of the storm! And falling!
Madonna, save us! There's the lake!
As the off-balance machine tumbled through the sky, the men flopped loosely in their seats, only the web harness holding them in place. Ammo boxes broke apart as the wag spun over and over, spilling live rounds into the mix of MRE packs, boots, and vomit. Then, a deafening explosion slammed the craft from underneath, cracking teeth and splintering the plexiglass covering the driver's ob-slit. Bones audibly broke as the blues were violently heaved against the web straps. One sec man came free and slammed into the armored ceiling, his head erupting into a pulpy mess of brains, bones, and blood. The decapitated body fell, leaving an ear and some sticky pink matter clinging to the steel plating. Dizzy from a blow to the temple, Brandon could barely focus on the fact they seemed to be rising and falling in a regular pattern. What the hell was this? Then the answer came like a fist from the dark.
The lake! We landed in the bastard lake!
A sec man struggled with his harness.
We're sinking! I gotta get out! I'm not gonna drown like a rat!
No, wait! The LAV floats. We're okay.
But the man struggled out of the web and stumbled toward the rear doors, walking unsteadily to the bobbing of the machine.
Horse shit! Metal doesn't float!
The sergeant's voice boomed out.
Sit down, Johnson!
His commands were usually obeyed instantly, the fear of the bullwhip in powerful hands more than enough of a threat. But the scared man didn't even respond as he clawed at the locking bolt for the rear doors. The sergeant drew his blaster and cocked the hammer.
I said sit down now! We're afloat, you triple-stoop fool! Open that and we sink!
Another sec man reached out to grab Johnson, but the private fought free, ripping his shirt in the process. His face was white, his eyes wild with fear, and he threw himself again at the aft doors, grabbing the locking bar with both hands. The sergeant leveled his weapon, and the blaster spoke. Johnson slammed against the double doors, a hole in his exposed spine, blood pumping onto the floor. Furious, the sergeant leveled the pistol to shoot again.
Don't! Ricochets!
Brandon spoke too late. The hammer was already falling. The large caliber slug plowed through the dying man and slammed into the locking bar, knocking it loose. The left door swung wide as the misshapen slug bounced off the steel and zinged off the walls and floor and into the back of the driver's head. The dead man lurched forward, cracking the dashboard with his face, blood flowing over the controls. The open door revealed the choppy waters of the lake and low hills rising in the distance. Fresh air rushed into the vehicle as Johnson toppled overboard and sank from view. Then a wave crested the door sill, washing over their boots and floating the airtight MRE food packs. Struggling with the stubborn buckle of his safety harness, the sergeant dropped his blaster and tried to rip himself loose by sheer strength. Drawing a knife, a corporal neatly sliced through the woven nylon belts and rushed to the doors through the ankle-deep water. Another wave rolled inside, forcing the man back, and the craft began to list slightly downward. Unsnapping the buckle on his web harness, a private stood and dived toward the rear. A sec man along the wall already had an arm extended. The first private grabbed the other's hand, and the sec man desperately reached for the handle of the armored door. Another wave washed inside, supplies caught in the current going out the open doors and floating away. Brandon saw desperately at the harness with a knife.
Everybody cut yourselves loose and go to the front! Gotta balance the load and keep from tipping over!
Fingers stretching to the limit, the corporal brushed fingertips against the waggling door, almost getting hold of the damp metal. Then another wave hit the wag, and the door sloshed closer for a split second. In triumph, the sec man grabbed the handle and started to pull the massive door shut. It resisted going against the force of the waves, the water seriously slowing its progress.
Pull, you bastard! Pull!
Tendons rose from the sec man's arm, and another man planted a combat boot against the wall for greater leverage and grabbed the first man with his right hand.
Come on, you muty-sucking son of a bitch!
The second man shouted in victory as the sluggish portal closed with a muffled bang. The locking bar was shoved home, and the sec man slumped to the watery floor. Finally free, Brandon went to the front of the wag and reached over the dead man to flip some switches. The motor struggled for a moment, then roared into life, a column of black smoke blowing skyward from the louvered exhaust port alongside the main turret. He slapped a big red button, and a steady pumping sounded from below. The water level in the machine dropped drastically until only a few small puddles dotted the rough floor. The lieutenant dragged the dead man from the chair and slid into his place.
Sergeant, get in the turret and shout out directions.
Clambering up the short ladder, the sergeant threw open the top turret. Rough waves were on every side. To the west was a tall cliff, and behind it a swirling windstorm, lightning flashing constantly in the clouds above.
Head north!
You have the compass, jackass.
The sergeant patted a pocket. Damn, so he did.
To your right! No, wait! That's too much! Perfect. Now hold it steady. The shore is only a mile away.
The eight big wheels spinning madly, frothing the water in their wake, the LAV headed for the nearby land. Things below the surface of the lake were already fighting over the body of the dead sec man Johnson. tentacles lashing wildly as the multiple muties engaged in mortal combat over the flesh. The scattered MRE packs floated away unnoticed, the waterproof wrapping reflecting the dim sunlight like gold.